MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanley Lab Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Ndivoya Tichenga, Senior Economist, Stanlib Asset Management. Ndivoya, appreciate the time this morning. Inflation, let's start really, really sort of basic here and how it's measured. I've chatted with Stats SA before. I remember at one point they took out CDs, they added streaming into it. They really are trying to get a basket, but it's a tough job, I suspect.
Thank you for having me, Simon. Yeah, it is definitely not an easy thing to do because the things that people buy in terms of like the basket, of course, that they buy and the services that they use changes all the time, especially with the huge technological changes that take place. So it's really not an easy job for Stats to say, but they do the best that they can.
They do, but it is also then, you know, we've got an official inflation rate. Stats SA publishes it every month. And everyone always says, that's not really my rate. And it isn't going to be because it's a theoretical number in a sense. And to your point, it depends how I'm consuming. It also depends if I'm low income or higher income. I'm going to have different areas of concentration.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people talk about there is the official CPI and then there's my personal inflation. And the reason why those don't always align, like you said, is because we live different lives. People experience different things. They buy different things. And sort of the cost of living differs because of whether they're high income, depending on where they live, and especially depending on what their basket of goods and services that they buy. So, for example, research shows that poor households spend more money on transport than wealthier households. So items like petrol inflation or bus and taxi inflation have a higher weighting in their personal basket of goods and services than the average household. So if petrol prices or taxi fares are rising at a faster rate, their experienced inflation rate will be much higher than the average inflation rate and even wealthier household inflation rate. And the same is true for your food items, right?
Yeah.
So different food items for our households, they buy different types of food items. You might buy more, let's say, meat than another household that buys more grains and cereals. And just because the official food inflation is 4.4% right now, it can be higher or lower depending on each individual households and what they buy. So like right now, we know that meat inflation is pretty high. So a household that buys more meat will experience a higher food inflation than the average household that maybe another household that buys more of your rice or your cereals or your pasta, let's say.
Yeah, my wife's a vegetarian and it saves us an absolute fortune.
Oh, lucky you.
but it saves us a fortune. Does inflation in one country, I mean, does it, you know, inflation is, it's personal, as we've been talking about. And then it's geographic, South African inflation. Mm-hmm. And then there's Europe and US. And of course, there'll be Botswana, Swatini and the like. Does it have an impact on global markets at all, that differential at any sense?
Oh, definitely. Especially when you look at inflation, the US and inflation in China, particularly, they have very real and important effects on global markets and even the inflation outcomes of other countries. Let's take the US, for example. The inflation there is important for global markets because it influences how the US central bank sets their interest rates, which effectively says that rich individuals, companies, and even countries around the world borrow and lend money to each other. So if inflation is high in the US, it's more likely that the central bank will increase interest rates. And when that increases, borrowing costs are high, and that has real impact on financial markets, from your equity markets to your bond markets, not just in the US, but also in South Africa and in many other countries. So a higher borrowing cost for the economy affects profits for companies, the spending habits of consumers, obviously. So it's a huge integrated system, and the financial system in the US is, I guess, incredibly integrated with the global financial system, because obviously it is the biggest economy in the world with the biggest financial market in the world. Now, if you look at China, on the other hand, now the story here is a bit different. So China is the biggest trading partner for most countries, including South Africa. They export a lot of goods into South Africa. And if their inflation is low, like it is right now, it's sitting at like 0.2%. It means that they export those goods at a lower price to us. So in a way, we import that low inflation from them, which is good for our inflation rate because it pushes down the cost of the many goods that we purchase from them. So we're able to buy more goods from them and we're able to buy other services because the prices are so low. So from goods like cars, clothes, furniture, and even phones come to South Africa at a cheaper rate. And that kind of pushes down our overall inflation, which is overall is a good thing, but if it does go the other way, it can have the opposite effect.
But I take a point. I hadn't thought of that, of course. A point to inflation. We're essentially importing low inflation rather than potentially higher. Last point, we had the medium-term budget policy statement last week. Finance Minister has revised our inflation target, 3%, although he said 1% either side. It's a big deal. Yeah. It's plus 20 years that we've been at the 3-6%. This is a hugely important moment in our economy, is my sense.
Definitely. I mean, I argue it's actually probably one of the biggest macroeconomic policy decisions made by South Africa in a very long time. Lower inflation not only has sort of positive short-term effects, but in the long term, the effects are very good for the economy, although there are some unintended consequences that come from. I think one of the sort of most obvious effects that we're probably going to see is that our now 3% target brings us in line with our trading partners in other emerging markets. Many countries like Chile and Brazil started off with high inflation targets like us, but over the years, they've reduced those targets to around 3%. So this alignment actually helps us with our competitiveness, because if everyone else's, let's say everything stays the same in the economy, right? A lower inflation in South Africa means that our goods are cheaper and our financial products are more attractive to overseas investors than otherwise. And also, if the SARB is able to actually achieve its target, it'll actually help support household consumption and private investment due to a higher purchasing power. So your rand can go further when your inflation is lower. The cost of capital is lower, so you can borrow at a lower interest rate. And I guess we'd get a less volatile and a better performing exchange rate if we're able to meet our target at 3%.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought of that point. Much like we're importing cheap stuff from China with low inflation, it benefits us. A quick last question. MPC on Thursday, do we get a rate cut?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit on the fence. A lot of people are arguing that a rate cut should come. A 25 basis point rate cut is probably likely. I am in the camp that we could see a rate cut, but most likely probably see rates unchanged going forward, because a lot of things are still uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainty both globally and a little bit locally in terms of what inflation is going to do going forward. With the new target at 3% and our inflation sitting at 3.4%, we expect it to slowly ramp up to about 4% going into next year. So with that in mind, I think the MPC is likely to sort of play a wait-and-see approach like they really enjoy to do.
Yeah, they are cautious. It's their DNA. But you know what? They're central bankers. Cautiousness is part of that expectation. Leave it there.
Exactly. Ndivhuwo
Nyatshenga, Senior Economist, Stanlib Asset Management. Appreciate the time. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.